plans for...
Hey, I think we can get going again. So we're moving now to IS 37, Agenda Paper 6.
Oh, really?
Craig.
Thank you.
After your last success.
Yes. In November 2017, you added a narrow scope standard setting project to your agenda. And the objective of this project is to clarify the meaning of the term unavoidable costs in the IS 37 definition of an onerous contract. And the main purpose of this meeting is to decide A, whether to propose any specific disclosure requirements, and B, transition proposed amendments. So firstly, talking about the disclosure requirements, we've analysed disclosure requirements in paragraphs 12 and 16 of our paper. And we think the proposed amendments to IS 37 do not create the need for any additional disclosure requirements. Accordingly, we recommend providing no new disclosure requirements as part of these narrow scope amendments. And so the first question for the committee is on page 6, and this is whether you agree with this recommendation.
Okay, any comments on disclosure? Sandy, I was looking at you.
Really? I mean, I guess, you know, I see that the requirements in paragraph 84 and 85 of IAS 37, that's fine. I don't know if people will actually make them, but we'll see. I didn't really care for the paragraph 14B that said there's no loss of information because there was no disclosure requirements before. And then we reviewed the IFRS taxonomy to identify if entities commonly disclose information about onerous contracts. We didn't identify any such disclosures. To me, that doesn't make sense because reviewing the taxonomy just means we didn't create tags for it. But that doesn't mean people didn't do extensions, right? You have to actually apply the tags, look at them, and see if anyone did. So that paragraph didn't really sit very well with me for those two reasons. But we will see.
Okay, thanks, Sandy. Any other comments, or can we vote on the staff's recommendation to propose new disclosure requirements as part of this project? I get a show of hands.
Everyone?
Okay, so the committee now needs to discuss the transition for the proposed amendments. And in transition, we first considered whether an entity should or apply the proposed amendments applying IS 8. And we discussed this in paragraphs 19 to 24 of our paper. We also considered two other approaches for how an entity may transition to the proposed amendments. So firstly, we considered prospective application, and this is discussed in paragraphs 25 to 26. And then we considered modifying for prospective application. This is discussed in paragraphs 27 to 31. We recommend proposing that entities would apply the modified retrospective approach. And we also considered whether the board should provide an option to apply the amendments retrospectively, but we recommend not providing this option. Transition requirements for first-time adopters are discussed in paragraphs 32 to 35 of our paper, and we recommend no specific transition requirements for first-time adopters. So the second question for the committee is on page 10 of our paper. And this is whether you agree with our recommendation to propose A, that entities already reporting using IFRS standards apply the proposed amendments using a modified retrospective application, and B, that there are no specific transition requirements for first-time adopters.
Okay, and more specifically, what we mean by modified retrospective in this case is you apply the new requirements to transactions existing at that date, going forward. Bonnie?
Just a question, actually, as to whether or not there was any consideration of the allowability of early adoption, depending on whatever the adoption date is. Maybe that'll come out later, but it was just a question. It wasn't addressed.
We did consider early adoption, but we thought that discussion would be better off waiting until we know what the effective date was and how long a period we can have in between.
No, that's fine.
All right. Bruce?
Thanks. I actually had a preference for the prospective application of doing this. And I'll tell you why. I mean, we talk about we kind of kicked off the retrospective application on the basis in Paragraph 22. We said this is costly and onerous. You know, we give out a whole lot of reasoning for it. But I don't really, you know, which I think prospective deals with. So we've got that. Whereas when you get to the modified retrospective, we've still got to face a lot of those challenges that people may not have information. There may be a lot of things there. And in my mind, as I think I mentioned somewhere in the paper, these are generally one-offs. These are not reoccurring, ongoing costs. So for somebody, even on the modified retrospective, to have to go through all that work to restate contracts where they've already reported it as onerous and just kind of running out, I don't know. I think that could once again be quite costly and time-consuming for somebody. So my preference is rather just to say, on a prospective basis, we've already disclosed these in the past. People have seen the impact of them. But I do it. I know maybe in the initial stage it's not going to be 100% comparable. The reality is, as we said, these are not really the kind of things that are driving operating earnings. So that's my preference.
John.
I mean, I'm not sure I would agree with how the prospective application is described in paragraph 26, because this is an amendment to IAS 37 around for the recognition criteria for onerous contracts. So I would have said prospective application would apply to any contract that becomes onerous after this date, rather than any contract entered into after this date. So I would have interpreted the application of the prospective method differently than is in paragraph 26. Having said that, I mean, I don't object to modified retrospective as an approach, but I would have thought that if somebody was and did have the information to apply it on a fully retrospective basis, given that that's the sort of default position, I would have permitted that as an option where that could be applied without the benefit of hindsight. But I'm okay with modified retrospective.
So you're okay with modified retrospective. Okay, Bob?
I'm okay with modified retrospective also, but this discussion just kind of confused me because I didn't agree with the staff's analysis. I thought prospective would have been to also to existing contracts. It wouldn't have been ways you enter into a contract for after the effective date. So the way I was thinking of it, maybe I'm wrong, modified retrospective would have been take all the facts that you have on January 1st, apply it then, and the adjustment goes to retained earnings. Prospective would have been assess your contract on January 2nd and run it through the income statement. Did I have that wrong?
And I think these labels, that's why I said, and when you mean, say modified retrospective, you mean, because I'm not sure the labels are that black and white for everybody. So I think it's better to describe what the outcomes that we're aiming for.
Yeah, which is why we tried to do it in paper. So I know maybe unfortunately we put labels on just to have a shorthand to distinguish one from the other, but we tried to set out what we meant by each. And by the way, only to say I think there's the prospective application is defined in ICA depending on the transaction, could be one of two things. I think the way we've interpreted it is one way you could interpret it. You could also interpret it in a different way that says it's from that sort of period forward, but it's why then we try to explain.
But the proposal, the staff recommendation, as I understand it, would be work mechanically as Bob expressed it, which would be you'd assess it as at the beginning of the annual reporting period, and to the extent the accounting changed, it would be a catch-up adjustment in retained earnings.
Yes.
Is that correct? So that's the recommendation. Tony?
No, I certainly think we should not do prospective since we all don't understand what it means. I also support the modified retrospective, and I think I would have understood it exactly the same way that Bob described it, so I don't think it's extra work. So the contracts have to be assessed under the existing accounting policy anyway, using all of the relevant information. You're just going to use that information and maybe a little bit more. You're not restating anything. It's just on the 1st of January. So I'm also comfortable with going with modified retrospective.
As expressed. Okay.
Yeah, I also want to say I agree with the modified retrospective method, but I just want to concur with John. We can provide a full retrospective method as an option in addition to the modified retrospective method.
Okay, so we'll let people do more work if they want to. Reinhardt and then Bertrand. Reinhardt?
So I would also agree that with a modified retrospective method, but consistent with what Jung-Soo said and John said, I would also permit retrospective if it can be done without hindsight, primarily because I'm I'm a bit concerned that on because of transition to IFRS 15 and IAS 11 falling away, you may have, and combined with the revised way of measuring costs associated with owners' contracts, you may have a different population of owners' contracts. And so in that circumstance, that's why I would support retrospective if you can do it without hindsight.
Okay, thank you. Bertrand?
I agree with modified retrospective application. I think it will ease the transition eventually. And in addition, on top of the modified retrospective application, why not propose also retrospective application for the braver? But we'd go for that. Yeah, sure.
Okay. Andrew?
Just note, so I'm in the modified retrospective club as well, although with the ability to do fully retrospective, if that's possible without hindsight.
Mary?
Just an observation. And I guess I get to say this when it comes to the board because it's proposed as an amendment, but I have some concern about offering an option of full retrospective just on the basis that we're going to be dealing with some entities including more costs, some including fewer costs, and if in effect there becomes an election about whether that goes in current period or in open and retained earnings, it just adds another dimension of complexity to understanding, you know, what's the impact of changes in circumstances versus what's the impact of a change in the accounting parameters used. So, you know, I guess my reaction is if we at the board get the recommendation to propose offering an election, I think I'd probably say let's ask a question in the invitation to comment about it because I'd want to hear from users about whether that just creates another moving piece that is more beneficial in terms of the possibility of improved trend information or the counterbalance of maybe more complex to understand what's going on.
Okay, Sandy?
I would just say that if you did ask us that, we would say that we don't like choice. We like retrospective, but we don't ever get that. I think Alan Teixeira one time says, we only do retrospective when it's easy, and it's never easy. That was priceless.
So, in that case, would you prefer that everybody was applying modified retrospective? All right. So, on the basis of that, question two, can I ask whether the committee agrees with the staff's recommendation, which is, I think, to propose that entities apply modified retrospective on transition, with no option for retrospective and no specific transition requirements for first-time adopters. If I can get a show of hands on that, please.
1, 2, 3, 4, 5, 6, 7, 8, 9, 10, 11.
Once again, Craig, well done.
Thank you.